Alrighty, everybody, welcome to the Barça Blaugranas podcast. My name is Josh. I am joined by our old friend over at Black, White, and Read All Over, Danny Penza. Danny, how are we doing today?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself, sir?
I'm doing good. Better than both of our football teams. So tomorrow's match is going to be one that is definitely marred by injuries, both physical and, well, I guess COVID-19 is technically physical. What's the current Juventus COVID injury situation looking like? Because I read y'all's recap from your draw over the weekend. I found it funny your Twitter account was being pretty trolly with all the draws you've gone through recently. What's the current COVID and injury situation for Juventus heading into this week's match?
I'll do COVID first since that's the shorter one. Pretty much it's just Ronaldo. Weston McKennie was given the all clear late last week, I believe on Friday. So he is healthy and good to go. He was an unused sub over the weekend against Hellas Verona. Ronaldo, I know we've had some people going, what's taking so long? But as we know from Paulo Dybala, just because you aren't suffering symptoms for any certain amount of time, it doesn't mean that you're no longer infected with the virus. So Dybala, it took him around 2 months to finally test negative. Obviously, I'm not saying that's going to be Ronaldo's case, but you know, it can take a little while for you to finally shed the virus fully. So,
you know, which is just so unfortunate. And like, you know, you hope on the return leg, he, you know, recovers and everything's good. He doesn't have any, after effects from the virus, but obviously you want to be precautious. But it is, you're right. You do often forget, just because someone's asymptomatic doesn't necessarily mean they get rid of the virus quicker. Because I think when he first came back positive, it's been like 2 weeks now. It was just kind of assumed like, oh, he's going to be good for Barca, but he's still obviously not good for Barca. So what about the physical injury situation?
Physical injury situation is a little bit dicier from our point of view. Especially in defense. I mean, Giorgio Chiellini, unfortunately, I mean, I love the guy, but his body has just failed him the last couple of years. He came up lame, obviously, against Dynamo Kiev with an injury. Juventus lately has pretty much been calling everybody day to day, so it's hard to say how long somebody might actually be out for. So Chiellini has been technically day to day for about 4 or 5 days now. Leonardo Bonucci had to come off injured over the weekend. He is technically day-to-day. Matthias De Ligt is still recovering from off-season shoulder surgery. Say that three times fast. He is close, but barring any miracle, he probably won't be available for Wednesday's game. But you never really know with him since he is a physical freak. Alexandro, he was supposed to be out for a couple weeks. That was a month ago. So that's defense.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a long list, and that means that Mery Demiral is technically Juventus's only healthy center back. So
cool. So that should be interesting.
Yeah, that's probably my biggest thing going into the game is what the heck Andrea Pirlo is going to do in defense. And I don't envy his decisions at all, but
I have in my notes the statement, like, both Barca and Juventus are rediscovering themselves. Barca because they were forced to. Juventus, I'm not really sure why. So summarize Juventus' season on the pitch so far this season.
You know, it's different from last season where, you know, we had a manager in Mauricio Sarri who very much had his system, was very much set in his ways. You know, he was kind of like Mr. Magoo. He was, you know, the grumpy old man who, you know, didn't want to change and stuck with what he wanted to do, even though his squad didn't necessarily work for what he wanted to do. Whereas Andrea Pirlo is a complete unknown. And, you know, we're five games in and Juventus has three draws, two wins, and one of those wins is a forfeit win over Napoli because they didn't show up due to COVID-19. So it's, you know, I get why people are frustrated because the bar is set so high during the Ronaldo window, but it's also you're dealing with a rookie coach who has never managed before, who was promoted to the senior team managerial level after being named the under 23 manager after, and he was only in that job for about a week. So you throw in the fact that he only had a couple weeks for preseason before the season started because coronavirus throwing everything off kilter. And, you know, this is still very much an experimental period for Pirlo, yet it's also, you know, now there's Champions League and there's a truncated schedule. I mean, Juventus is playing seven games in 23 days coming out of this most recent international break. So it's a lot to deal with both in terms of trying to rotate your squad, but also figure out which squad works for you. And you've got all the injuries and you've got coronavirus. And it's been an interesting mix of everything that Pirlo has had to deal with. And on top of it, the team isn't getting results. So,
yeah. So,
yeah.
Taking the temperature of the Juventus, well, taking the temperature, I guess everyone's getting their temperature taken. for lack of a better term, taking the temperature of the Juventus fan base, do you think their patience will line up with the, like, kind of everything you just laid out, right? Where, like, these first few weeks have kind of been like the preseason for Pirlo, and unfortunately, like, they're playing Barcelona tomorrow. And they can't afford to have lackluster results in the Champions League. Is the Juventus fan base going to be as patient with Juventus as they probably need to be?
I wish. I wish. I tend to be more of the kind of wait and see, kind of section of the fan base. I mean, I've always been more optimistic than pessimistic as compared to a lot of people, at least in our comment section. So take that.
Wait. Are you saying people in the comment section aren't always necessarily the most level-headed about things?
Yeah, take that for however you want. But I mean, I was talking with somebody else about this exact same thing a week or so ago, and I described it as, you know, you kind of figured with Sarri that the history of his teams is that they get better as the season went on. So last year we kind of always tempered everything with, okay, it might be bad in October, November, December, but January, February, March, and, you know, obviously the shutdown screwed that whole timetable up. But if things would click, it would be the second half of the season. With Pirlo, I mean, I've never remembered a time during my Juventus fandom where everything is so much game to game, simply because we don't know anything about Andrea Pirlo as a manager before, you know, the middle of August. So, it's so much on a, we're just learning so much about what Pirlo is with each game, with each, you know, with each interview he gives. I mean, it's complete 180 from where Juventus were with Sarri, where, you know, the manager had his ideas. He was very steadfast in his ideas, where Pirlo, you know, he's throwing in a wrinkle yesterday where he might be expecting Hellas Verona to press, so he moves Leonardo Bonucci up into the midfield to give another, you know, option to pass out of the back instead of keeping Bonucci in the middle of the back three. And it's just it's, you know, he's tinkering with things, but also trying to get this 3-4-1-2 to stick. And I commend him for that. But, the injury situation is what it is. Obviously, you've got, you know, one of your two best players out with COVID right now. So it's not an ideal situation by any means. And then you throw in the fact that Pirlo has been a manager for all of 2 months now. So He's very much learning on the job in a very, and he's under the microscope, even more so than he was a couple months ago.
So all the stuff you mentioned about Pirlo kind of learning as, learning as he goes, he's kind of figuring himself out as a manager as time goes. And you also earlier in our conversation mentioned the Ronaldo window, which is very much a thing, right? Like you have prime, well, maybe like a little bit post-prime, but still it's like LeBron James, right? Like what is his post-prime? Ronaldo's the same way. You have this window with Ronaldo. Is Pirlo the right guy for this version of Juventus?
It's hard to say because we've barely seen Ronaldo with him. I mean, two actual games, and then the Napoli game that never happened, even though it technically happened. And then he got COVID. So the sample size is two games. And as much as people are trying to, get a read off of Pirlo with such a small sample size already, the sample size is even smaller with Pirlo and Ronaldo. So, who knows, if this, 3-4-1-2 is going to stick, who knows if getting Ronaldo to be a striker who plays more centrally like, Morata has been will stick. I mean, who knows how Ronaldo and Dybala will play off each other in Pirlo's formation, will look like what they did with Sarri, which, had some good results for them personally, not necessarily for the team's overall, level of performances. But yeah, I don't know. I wish I could tell you more, but it's really just kind of TBD at this point because we just haven't seen much of it.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess maybe that's my point. Like, it's a strange TBD to like be pondering at this point because I don't know. Maybe like it's a roll of the dice worth doing something, and like that's the Barcelona problem, right? Is Koeman just another guy that is going to be here for a year, and then when they don't win the Champions League, he's just going to get sacked? And maybe Juve, because from the Barca side, right, before Koeman was hired, the conversation was like, if Xavi even wanted to come, is now the right time to bring someone like him on board when, Messi's influence at the club is still super, like very influential, even maybe it's not as influential as he or others hopes it would be. Like, is this the time where you bring in a guy like Xavi, who you really want to succeed, right? Like, he's not a throwaway guy. Same thing with Pirlo. Like, you're really rooting for him to succeed. And I guess it's an interesting take on things to bring in someone like Pirlo when you're not really resetting, when, like, you are in the... It's kind of considered a failure if we don't win the Champions League this year to some extent, right? Like, I mean, I guess they could still get to, like, the semifinals and win Serie A, and people would say, like, Pirlo, season one, like, great. But at the end of the day, that's the same result Juve have had for the last few years, for the most part. And I don't know. It's very interesting because I think Barca and Juve both made different decisions. Barca and Xavi, whatever you believe, decided not to pursue things this early on, and Juve and Pirlo decided that, now was the time to give it a go.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something we've discussed a lot on our podcast, just kind of the trying to get into the mind of the front office as to why they went in the Pirlo direction. I mean, we were recording when the reports came out that Pirlo was going to be named manager. So you can probably guess what kind of 24-hour swing that was to Sarri being sacked, which was, I think, a surprise to a lot of us, because we just thought, Juventus had committed a 3-year contract to him, and obviously finances are what they are these days. So who knows if they were willing to really pay it. But then to go in the completely different direction where you're hearing all these experienced managers being thrown out there, and then here comes Pirlo with his week's worth of experience with the under 23 team, and he's suddenly given the keys to the car, and it's like, all right, dude, here you go. So, but yeah,
got was a really nice one. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's a nice one, but it's also a flawed one. And that's kind of where I think, a lot of people, at least for me, it's kind of, still wait and see what he can do.
talking a little bit about the other candidates that were up for the Juve job, was Conte the guy you wanted or just the guy that was assumed to be the possible candidate because of the history?
Well, I mean, there's obviously that link there, but you know, it wasn't necessarily a great breakup when he left after 3 years last time. So plus he's at Inter now, so that adds to the thing. And the guy who hired him at Juventus is now managing the front office at Inter in Beppe Marotta. So you have that natural relationship. And I mean, it was a cast of characters thrown out there. I mean, you know, is it Pochettino? Could Juventus really just surprise everybody and bring Allegri back a year after they sacked or they decided to part ways with him? And then all of a sudden here comes Pirlo. So, I think as we've said on our podcast, we've gotten the impression that Pirlo was always kind of the guy down the road, but we didn't figure that road would be we wouldn't be going down that road so quickly. And, maybe Juventus would have hired somebody for the short term and then given Pirlo a little more seasoning with the under 23 side in Serie C. But yeah, I mean, it's, we definitely were taken aback when Pirlo was hired just because, you know, it's such a risky move.
So talking a bit about the match this week, this is one of the more difficult matchups, and you know, these two clubs have a Champions League history, obviously. But when two clubs of this caliber face off, usually you have some idea of what to expect. and I think kind of like it was previewing the Clasico last week, there wasn't much expectation. Both teams were kind of coming in a little cold. And then obviously, you know, Real Madrid were the far better team. Same thing sort of heading into this match. I don't really know what to expect. I think if both teams were healthy, I would make Juve kind of the considerable favorite. But like you talked about at the start of the podcast, Juventus' backline is decimated. So is it even possible for you to begin to formulate an idea of what you expect to happen on Wednesday?
No. maybe if Juventus had a couple central defenders healthy, but if Bonucci is out, I really don't know where Pirlo would go other than having to really change up his formation. And, you know, we've seen Juventus within games, you know, Juventus is very much either 3-4-1-2 or 3-4-3 in attack. And then they have for a lot of the time dropped into 4-4-2 defending or some variation of that. And I would think it would have to be a four-man back line if Bonucci isn't available. Hell, even if he is available, it might be a four-man back line at this point, knowing who's healthy. But, yeah, I mean, I really don't know what to expect, knowing that, you know, there's no Ronaldo. There's barely any defenders who are healthy. I mean, you look at the squad list for what Juventus posted on social media over the weekend for the Hellas match, and, you know, defenders are tiny, and then the list of midfielders is lengthy, and then there's four forwards and two of them were youth players. So it's just a situation where Pirlo really is just stretched thin at a lot of different places. And I really don't, I was optimistic maybe say a few weeks ago, but now I'm just like, I just get out of it. You know, maybe a draw will be the best Juventus can muster. And at this point, I'll take that.
Yeah. And I mean, from the Barcelona side, like obviously you hate to lose a Clasico. This one was particularly hurtful for Barcelona just because, you know, Coutinho is now hurt heading into the Juve match. And he had been someone who had been impressing, kind of looking like his older self. The influx of youth has been nice, right? With Des, Pedri, and Fati all, you know, getting starts in that match. But it was like, as it was put kind of in our talking points, like Koeman went all Kike Setien in the second half and didn't really sub anyone on until the 81st minute, I think, when he brought on three players with, you know, you could do worse than bringing on Ousmane Dembele and Antoine Griezmann in the 80th minute. But I think it'll be interesting to see Barcelona's flexibility in this match and how they choose to attack a decimated Juve backline, because like Barcelona aren't, they don't have a lack of attacking options. They're just figuring out which ones work with others. And, you know, to see Koeman not rotate quicker in El Clasico was a bit discouraging. So hopefully, from the Barca side, they stay flexible and stay willing to make changes as opposed to just kind of sitting still. So yeah, like you said, I have no idea what to expect. I think if Barcelona are going to beat Juventus, like this is the time to do it. So, yeah, there we go. I guess if I was forced to give a prediction, I would say like 2-1 Barca, but I just don't feel good about it because I feel like I'd be a horrible Barca podcast host if I picked a Juventus team that's as injured as this to beat Barcelona. But I'm just not confident in Barcelona at all right now, so I could see anything happening.
Yeah, no, I'd probably lean like 2-2 or so. That's kind of my gut feeling. I mean, Juventus's defense has been better than last season. I mean, you can't really get much worse than it was, seeing as I believe they were the Scudetto winners to allow the most goals since 1960 something. So take that how you want in terms of, well, Sarri won a title in his only season. Yeah, well, look how the team actually played. So I think, you know, you mentioned the Koeman being able to kind of mix and match in terms of his attackers. And I think that's what, you know, maybe at the beginning of the international break, a lot of people were looking to this stretch of games for, because Juventus have a lot of mid or bottom table teams on the schedule outside of Lazio, and Lazio aren't what they were last season. So it was like, okay, how would Ronaldo work in with Dybala? How would Ronaldo work with Morata? How would Pirlo really try and juggle those three? And then, as we've seen, Dejan Kulusevski is an absolute stud, so he needs to play. How would he work all of those pieces in together? And now you look at it, and Dybala is just back from injury and a stomach virus he had during the international break, so he couldn't play with Argentina. Obviously, Ronaldo's out. Morata is playing great right now. You know, he's probably been the early season MVP for Juventus. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, all the things you think of 2 weeks later, they're just completely not possible. So, so goes the life of a Juventus fan, I guess.
Yep. So everyone check out Black, White, and Read all over for your Juve news leading up to the match. The Old Lady Speaks podcast, which is just a great podcast name. I especially like your most recent episode was Euro Step Forward, which I found clever and nice. So check out that podcast. I'm sure, are you guys going to record before or after the match this week?
We, with the schedule being like it is, we usually go record after every other match. We're recording either Wednesday night or Thursday at some point, since all of us are here in the good old US of A.
There you go. So check out the podcast to hear hear them make excuses if Barcelona win, like, you know, these injuries, right? Like, we had no chance. Or if they win, then, you know, it's just going to be like, Pirlo's a miracle worker. Like, how do we beat, you know, Koeman's standing tall Barcelona with this injured backline? So it's going to be good stuff. Danny, thank you for joining me as always. And we will chat in the future.
Thank you. And permission to use that as my opening for the podcast next time, if that's okay with you.
I love it.
Okay.